All right, so let's open up. Let's start up by opening up to Matthew. And I have a lot of reading to do. I guess I didn't know where to stop things. You know, or you've probably experienced that. It's like, where do I just stop? Because it just keeps on going and going. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. And who wants to start? Nick? Oh. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Verse 26, but Jesus, sometimes things seem hard, right? Have you experienced that, right? Things seem hard. You know, there's too much against us. It's impossible, right? Anybody else but me? We've all felt that way, right? That it feels like it's impossible. Now, those are the times God is telling us or wants us to hold on, to dig deep and keep the faith. We're going to be reading in the book of Daniel, and most of us know that Daniel is during a really tough time for Israel, right? It's during a time where Jerusalem was defeated by the Babylonians, the Babylonian Empire. And Daniel, along with many others, were taken captive. Right? And what does that mean by being taken captive? What do you think happened to Daniel? Exactly. So Daniel, there's all these people that were taken captive. They were made slaves. Their houses were destroyed. I'm sure many loved ones were killed. Possible parents were killed. You know, and they were made slaves. You know, everything they knew and held dear was ripped from them. Right? And then, just to add insult to injury, they're in a foreign land and have to learn new languages, new ways to do things. Right? And this all at a very young age. Most of them, Daniel was a teenager, along with some friends of his. But most of them, they took the young. So they were about your guys' age. So they had to deal with all that. So that's kind of a lot, wouldn't you say? Now, I can only imagine that you just want to make things go easier. You know, my life has just had so much trouble. I just want to make things go easy in this new land. I'm just going to follow the rules, and I'm just going to not get in trouble, not hold on to the old ways. I'm just focusing, I just want to be good. I just don't want any more trouble, right? That I can imagine that some of the Jews felt that way. In Daniel, so I don't know if you guys beat me, but I'm sorry, Daniel chapter 3. Verse 1-7. Did my tab go away? There you are. Daniel chapter 3, 1-7. Volunteers or All that music, that's a mouthful. That's a lot of music, right? So anybody know or can estimate how long the old world measurement for a cubit is? We've talked about it before. Yes, Nick? It's somewhere right in here. So it's roughly 18 inches. Everybody's, it varies a little bit, but that's the average, is 18 inches. So if you were to do the math, this golden image would be 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. Right? Did you do that? Or, oh, did you? Oh. that's a pretty big statue, right? That's pretty huge. You know, Nebuchadnezzar's showing off his power. Can you see that? That he's just showing off his power. He wants a one world order. One ruler, him. One religion, him. Right? He wants everybody just to know how powerful he is and wants everybody just to focus on him. You know, he wants everybody to bow down to this image. You know, and showing due respect to authority is one thing, but he wants them to worship this image, this new god. I mean, there's some that figure it was him, is putting him as a god. I'm not sure, or was it just a new god he just made up? I'm not sure, but he made this. He wants everybody to worship this new image. In Exodus, so it's the beginning of the Bible, right after Genesis. Exodus chapter 20. Verses 3 through 6. You might want to keep your finger in Daniel. I should have probably told you that earlier. Now don't just read one little bit of chapter 3. So Exodus 20, 3 through 6. So it kind of sounds familiar, right? It kind of should. It's one of the, well, it's actually two of what? Ten Commandments, right. Right. So it's one of the Ten Commandments. And what is Nebuchadnezzar asking these Jewish kids to do, these Jewish teenagers to do? Exactly what God says not to do. Now, who should we listen to, right? We talked about that last week. So, to God, this, what Nebuchadnezzar was asking, is a big deal. You know, it wasn't just, just do it, you'll be fine. No, it was a big deal. What, you know, and then you could think about these captive Jews, what they're thinking at this time, this challenging time, like we just went over. It's a challenging time, isn't it? Because if we don't bow down, we're going to die. Nebuchadnezzar's going to kill us. But if we do bow down, we're disobeying God. So it's a decision time, right? And it's, you know, to some, it's a very hard decision. So we're back in Daniel chapter 3. No. Daniel chapter 3, 8 through 12. All right, so right here, it sounds less like concerned law-abiding citizens. It sounds more like a jealous, petty people who's kind of mad at the king, but doesn't want the king to get mad at him, at them. You know, because he's saying, you know those three guys you set a higher rank than me? You know what? I'm going to tattle on them right now. I'm going to tattle on them because they're not following the rules. You know, they get an extra cookie during meals, and I want that extra cookie. That's what they're saying, right? They're just not happy. They're not happy. So you could kind of, you know, it's in between the lines, but it's like, oh, well, You know those ones? King, you're great, but those ones, what you set up on those high positions, they're not doing right. So they're trying to get them in trouble, right? Because these guys did what? They obeyed God, right? They were very bold. They obeyed God. They weren't going to bow down. So verses 13 through 18. Brendan? Of Daniel chapter 3, 13 through 18. All right, so Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he must have kind of liked these guys. You know, they were doing good, obviously, for him. So he kind of liked them. He gave them another shot. Gave them one more shot. You know, okay, I've heard this about you, but I want to see if it's true. I want to see if, what's going on. And then he goes a little bit further, and Nebuchadnezzar, you could tell he's kind of full of himself. He's kind of power, you know, he's used to people bowing down, doing exactly what he says. It's like, who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? You know, again, it's about him. It's, you know, he's probably used to that. It's about him. It's about my hands. I mean, maybe somebody else's, but my hands, really? In Psalms, keep a finger in Daniel. And then let's turn to Psalm 138, verse 7. So, I mean, you could just have an image of God. You know, he's stretching out his hand, holding back the enemy, but he holds you up with his right hand, right? And that's God. So, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not flinch. They didn't flinch. They weren't worried. Your God whom we serve, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, right? They told Nebuchadnezzar this. They were confident. You know, 100% confidence. They knew it for a fact. The world may look at these guys and say, how could they have so much faith? Wasn't these guys the ones what were just defeated by the Babylonians? Weren't these guys that were made slaves? Weren't these guys what all this bad stuff is happening to? How can they have so much faith that they're willing to risk death by a fiery furnace? You know, I like to think is they knew God was in control. That doesn't mean bad stuff's not going to happen. You know, it means that sometimes we may not understand why certain things happen, but we trust that it's all going to work out in the wash. Meaning it's going to work out in the end, right? God has a plan.